Hello, and welcome to the Gospel Bell in the Dells, a weekly podcast sharing the good news of Jesus Christ in every age and place. My name is Pastor Joseph Dogan, pastor of Bethany Lutheran Church in Wisconsin Dells. Come and hear the good news that is indeed for you. And once again, the Holy Gospel according to John, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever." He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. While many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you, there are some who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that did not believe and who was the one that would betray him. And he said, "For this reason I have told you, that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father." Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. So here we are. We find ourselves at the finale on this five-week series on bread found in John 6. You know, it's bittersweet, almost like the molasses that goes into making a nice brown bread. And I can see the heartbreak in some of you that you won't get just a couple more weeks of me talking about this delicious meal of, yes, bread and wine, but also of flesh and blood. Because that's what Jesus says this is. It hasn't been some secret that Jesus is talking about this bread as his flesh and this wine as his blood. But we get it most explicitly these last couple weeks on this series. When Jesus says, "I am the bread of life," to the crowd that has been following him. Now he compares himself as the bread that came from heaven that the Israelites nommed on or feasted on in the wilderness that they called manna. Jesus continues throughout this discourse of explaining the value of partaking in this bread. Most of it, what we've been talking about these last 5 weeks, people can get aboard with, right? If they're thinking that Jesus is talking in this metaphysical sense. Surely Jesus doesn't mean that he is some sort of gingerbread man that's just walking about among us as this bread. But then he says something kind of strange. He says, "The bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." Now that can give us pause, especially those who weren't raised around this seemingly cannibalistic language. But I think it's helpful if we back up in our thinking just a little bit. Now, this isn't the first time in the Gospel of John that Jesus' flesh is mentioned so explicitly. The Gospel of John begins with saying that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I think we can get behind that. God is the Word, right? Groovy? We're following along? Let's skip ahead to verse 14. "And the Word," as we remember, the Word being God, "became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and full of truth. God, the Word, takes on flesh and human form in the person of Jesus Christ. The flesh that Jesus then says that we are to eat is this bread from heaven, is the Word of God. When we eat this bread and we drink this cup, what we are receiving is the unbounded, unending, and everlasting grace of God. And yet, when given this message, there are disciples, students of Jesus Christ, that are so offended that they walk away, for they could not accept this gift for what it was. It was harsh, it was difficult, and it was scandalous. We often forget that this gospel of Jesus Christ that so many of us have taken for granted and think of in this mundane way was so offensive to so many and remains offensive to many who would rather hold on to power than to submit to the peace of Jesus Christ that we are called into by the Holy Spirit of God. It's so offensive, in fact, that Jesus Christ is killed for this message. So harsh that many of the early disciples were killed for telling the good news that God has come in human form for the sake of all people. So scandalous that there are those who cannot accept a message of free grace, so they pervert the gospel to fit their own doctrines of hate and oppression. It's hard to stick to a message of peace when so much of the world around us feels as though it is at war. It's so embedded into the culture around us that we read scripture like the armor of God, right? As if we are to beat down our enemies for the sake of the gospel, rather than read the armor of God for what it is: truth, righteousness, proclamation, spirit, faith, salvation, and peace. Contrary to how the text is often interpreted, the message is clear. Instead of taking up the sword, take a knee. Because you see, aggression and hate come so easily. Fighting seems natural for many. War is its own hell on earth. War is hard. Peace is harder. And when things get hard, that is when people turn away and find something else, like many of the disciples do. See, Jesus turns to the 12 and asks them, "Will you too be leaving?" And Simon Peter responds with a question: "To whom else could I possibly go?" We are not called to do that which is easy. Like Peter, we are called to lean in to what is difficult. And if your faith leads you to places of only comfort, then you need to dig deeper. What hill are you willing to die on for this gospel of peace? May 25th, 1521, a date that many of you, I'm sure, will remember. Martin Luther stood trial in the city of Worms, famously called the Diet of Worms. Luther was called upon to answer for his crimes against the church found in the 95 Theses and in the claim that a person's salvation comes in the form of grace alone through sola fide, faith alone. Now, to avoid the consequences of excommunication and execution, Luther is told all you need to do is recant or take back your teachings, and then he would be pardoned for what he had said and what he had taught. But knowing what he faced, Luther looked upon the crowd and said, "I cannot and will not recant anything. For to go against conscience is neither right nor safe. Here I stand. I can do no other. So help me God. Amen. Whether right or wrong in his teachings, Luther stood for his faith. And in that moment, he did not let fear win. Peter, Paul, other early disciples, John Huss, Martin Luther, and countless others have had their here I stand moments grounded in their faith of Jesus Christ. They all stood for something. Do you? Does Bethany Lutheran stand for something larger than itself? And if so, what is it? On paper, in our vision statement, we stand for the love of God and neighbor, and faith in worship, discipleship, service, and outreach. If that is still the case, then do it, and do it boldly. Do not shy away, but recognize that this work is done only through the Holy Spirit of God for the good of the whole world. All are being welcomed to the table. That is what we proclaim. Even he who came to betray Jesus Christ and is called a devil was welcomed to the table of the Lord. You are welcome to this table, where you will find a feast of grace, peace, and mercy. Take then this feast to others, that they may taste the truth that is found in Jesus Christ, that tells them that they too are welcome. And should any get in your way or deny the gift that is for all people, simply wipe off the dust from your shoes and move on. There are people that are starving for this kind of love, and it's up to you. It's up to each and every single one of us to share this welcome to this feast and faith of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Thank you again for listening to our weekly podcast, The Gospel Bell and the Dells. To find out more about this ministry or learn ways to support us, please go and follow us on Facebook at Bethany Lutheran Church or at our website at dellsbethanylutheran.org.